Thank you, Elva and Brent and Church. Thank you for all your singing. And it's good to be with you here today. A special day for a few different reasons. It's always a special day when we can gather together and be the church and worship God and be an encouragement to one another. But even more so today, because today is, as we know, Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a special day. We have lots of holidays that we look forward to and that we enjoy. And I would think that Mother's Day is certainly amongst the top. And so that I get in good with my mom, I'll say it is the top, right? We are thankful for over Thanksgiving. I like turkey, but Mother's Day is even better than that. And my birthday is a great day, but Mother's Day is more. Without Mother's Day, I wouldn't have a birthday, right? Mother's Day isn't pretty important. So I am thankful for God's plan for us. You know, that's whose idea moms were. It was God's idea. And he knows what he's doing to allow us to have a mom. Let me share a poem. We're going to get into some things this morning. In Exodus chapter 2, we've been studying through the book of Exodus in the evening, the Exodus of Israel from Egypt. Lots of interesting things. Tonight we'll go there again in chapter 7. And we're going to witness the wise men, the magicians, the sorcerers of Egypt are going to do their best to try to match the power of God. And we're going to begin to get into the first of the 10 plagues that Egypt experienced because of Pharaoh's rebellion, his hard heart, his wickedness against God, and because of God's promise and his love for Israel. So if you got nothing to go this evening, I'd love to have you back. But this morning, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 2 in a couple of minutes and revisit a passage that I didn't really dive into because I wanted to save it specifically for today. So anyway, we'll take a look at some things there. Can I share a couple things? First, a poem. I like poetry. Kind of sappy. Took me a long time to admit that, but I do. Here's a poem for the moms in our midst. By the way, even before, can I embarrass everybody? I embarrass myself a lot, so I'll just include you in this. Can I have the moms stand this morning? We just want to acknowledge you and put you on the spot for just a minute. And remembering all moms, can I have a round of applause for moms? Thank you. All right, thank you, ladies. You may be seated. A poem that reflects moms in my mind. Mothers are like cups of coffee because they can be strong, they can be sweet, they can give you a pick-me-up, they warm you up on the inside, they sometimes keep you up late, they smell good, they cause great conversations to happen, and they give you a reason to get out of bed in the morning, right? Whether you want one or not. Mom, so I'm thankful for that. And I actually got you all a card. So, moms, I won't pass it around, but I will open it for you. So, moms, happy Mother's Day to all the moms from us. Mom with lots of loves. And you've touched lives and warmed hearts in so many special ways. And Mother's Day is the perfect time to tell you how much you're loved. Happy Mother's Day. So, anyway, a card for the moms this morning on Mother's Day. I'll put that there. All right. Exodus chapter 2, please, this morning. You know, it's interesting. A lot of the most important or the strongest of us or the wisest of us, the most talented of us, the most ambitious of us often get all the credit. But if it wasn't for mom, those things probably wouldn't be the case for us. You know, mom has a lot of influence in our lives. And so she should get a lot of credit for getting us out of bed. And she is like a strong cup of coffee. My mother, I can remember being young and trying to sleep in, and she didn't always like it when I slept in too late into the day. And lo and behold, the vacuum would usually slam against my door, and next thing the door would open, and in would come the vacuum. I'm just cleaning, don't mind me. And it was time for me to get up, and I learned that. But, you know, I'm thankful for all of the memories that I have and for the influence of my mom in my life. So we take a look at the Word of God and we wonder about moms in the Bible. Does God have anything to teach us about moms? Does the Bible have anything to say? And we can go to Proverbs and 31 and look at the virtuous woman, and we can go to Samuel, look at Hannah, and we can go to the New Testament and look at Mary. There's all kinds of examples, wonderful examples. Certainly the women in our world share equally in the fact that God can use them and bless them and elevate them, and we can learn from the ladies, the women, the moms in our lives, and we certainly can in Scripture. But a lot of times, the moms are behind the scenes. And we've been talking in Exodus about a guy that we, you know, we like to break up and learn from, and he's an interesting fellow by the name of Moses. And Moses wouldn't be Moses without mom. As a matter of fact, his name means what? Drawn out of the river. Well, who put him in there? His mom did, and for a very important reason. So we're going to talk about the mom of Moses. Jochebed is her name. Married to Amram. She was of the house of Levi, and she has all of the wonderful characteristics that moms have. And so as a reflection of moms and as a celebration of God's perfect plan, the family, the home, His design, including moms, we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics here of Jochebed, who was the mom of Moses. And hopefully we'll see some things in here that'll be an encouragement to us. I'll pray, and then we're going to start in chapter 2 of Exodus. Father, we do thank You that we can be together this morning. First, Father, thank You for Christ. Thank You, Lord, for salvation through Him. Oh, God, thank You for providing a way for us to be forgiven of our sins, our offenses against You. Thank You, Father, for providing a way for us to live a life without guilt and regrets. Instead, we can have peace that passeth all understanding. We can have a hope and a joy, Father. So thank You so much for Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, that He died for us, that He rose again. And the Lord, when we repent and believe the gospel, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, call out to Him, the Bible says we can be saved. So we thank You first for Christ. Thank You for Your word, Lord, and that we can learn from it about our lives, about who You are and how You want us to live in this world. And we thank You, Father, lastly this morning for each one that's here as we take a few minutes to worship You, to sing, to study Your word, and, Father, also today to honor moms. And so, God, we ask for Your blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we honor moms of all kinds, moms that have gone on before us, and moms-to-be, one of the things I think is important to note that as we begin here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son." I love the fact, by the way, that we are also brought to understand that she conceived. The conception is when the life begins. And that is noted many times in Scripture by the fact it didn't say or doesn't say that she had a baby or had a son, but that she conceived. That's where the process begins. And then she bare a son. And I'm thankful for that. But here's the thing. She bare a son in a very difficult day. Her people are in slavery. They're in bondage. And she bears a son into a world that is going to be difficult. And so moms can all relate to this, because no matter what season of history you lived in or live in now, whatever's going on in your life, we know that it's a difficult world to raise a child in. And so Jochebed understood this, and moms understand that. And there's a lot of things that moms do. I jotted down just quickly, right from the start. Right from the start, there is a love connection and pain protection. So there's that instantaneous love that a mother has for their child, and I would say a parent has for their child. Instantaneous. You know, I had to get my wife to like me first. That took some time. After she finally liked me, then I worked on getting her to love me. That took a little more time. But eventually it worked. And now she's stuck with me. I mean, we're married. Moms love us right off the bat. You know, we don't have to warm up to mom. It's like, I hope I can impress her the first few. No, right off the bat, before I was born, my mother loved me. And before our children are born, we have a love for them. And we know that. And there's many examples that I could give. I won't, but we know that there's many ways that we can understand. We love our children before we even know them, before we even meet them. And I'm thankful for that kind of love that a mother has for their children. And not only is there an instant love connection, but there is a plan of pain protection. Mothers consider all the ways they're going to protect their children and raise their children and help their children before they even have children. That's what a mother does. A man thinks about hunting most of the time or fishing. But a woman's got all kinds of things going on because that's how God created them. And I'm so thankful for moms. Jochebed bare a son. She conceived and she bare a son.
And this, of course, is Moses. Moses had a couple of siblings. Aaron, older brother, became the priest, or a priest, and a sister, an older sister, Marian, who is in the story. So interesting, excuse me, how God uses us. It says also in verse 2, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Excuse me, as I said, she is bringing a child into a very difficult situation. Her child will be born into slavery and into bondage. He won't remain that way because of the grace and the goodness of God, but as far as she knows, it's going to be a difficult time. And for 3 months, she has to hide her child. You'll have to reread chapter 1 to get a full understanding of what's going on, but I'll give you the summary. Pharaoh, the authority, the government, who God allowed to reign in this day and in this season, come up with this idea or this terrible plan to do away with male children that were born of the Hebrews. Any Hebrew that had a baby boy, that life was to be snuffed out. It was to be forfeited. The child was to be killed. And this was a way to control the population. This was a way to control the families in Israel so that they didn't become too strong or in any way become a threat to the nation of Israel. There's a lot of variables there, but at the end of the day, we understand that was wicked and evil to desire to snuff out the most innocent of life in what should be the most safest of seasons is diabolical and demonic. And the Hebrew midwives knew that. And when they were commanded, make sure if it's a baby boy, you take that life, the Hebrew midwife said, don't think so. Not going to happen. They obeyed God instead. They feared God more than Pharaoh, and God honored them for that, by the way. And Jochebed was the kind of woman that had the same principles. She understood, instinctively, she understood that that is wrong. She saw her little boy. He was a goodly child, a healthy child. She loved her child. That instant love was enough to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and not do that wicked thing or not allow that wicked thing to take place. She delivers the baby and hid him for 3 months. How many understand how hard that would have been? It's really hard to hide a baby. You know, they smell interesting sometimes. They make funny sounds. And so hiding a baby is not an easy thing to do, but a mom can do most impossible things. And so she is determined to not only protect her child, but to risk her life. This could cost her her life. She's breaking the law, wicked as it was, still the law of the land. And she's risking her well-being for the safety of her son, Moses. Just quickly, I want to read what I wrote for points. Mothers see things in their children others don't. She saw this child. He was a goodly child. And she said, you know what? I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the laws of the land are. I know what's right, and that's wrong, and I'm going to protect my child. And so she did exactly that. Mothers see things in their children that others don't. My mother did. She kept praying for me because she understood what God's word says. I'm thankful for that. And mothers are good at that. They see things in their children that others don't. Moses ended up becoming the leader of the nation of Israel. God used Moses to lead his people out. And that's where we are in the evening services. We've been talking about that. And it's in part and parcel to the obedience, the faithfulness, and the courage of Jochebed, his mother. And so Moses owes his mom a lot of credit. She saw things in him that others didn't see. Secondly, just quickly, I jotted down, the mothers protect their children, as I just said. You know, we understand the concept of a mother bear. I heard growing up and have experienced a few different times, when you see a mother bear and her cubs, stay away. Stay away. I remember being in Wentworth, and the bears would always come out in the field across from where we lived, and we'd always, you know, ooh and aah and try to get pictures. And international students would come from different places. It was a big treat for them to see the bears. And one day I pulled over to the side of the highway, and there was a big mama bear there, and she had 3 cubs. So it was really cool to see them, and they wanted pictures. So I got as close as I dare get and get out of the car, and we'll get some pictures before Mama Bear runs away. But Mama Bear didn't run away. Instead, Mama Bear stood up on her back legs and showed me, you know what, I'm bigger than you. Don't come any closer. Her babies were there. And mothers protect their children. And this is exactly what we see Jochebed doing, protecting her child, hiding him for 3 months. Verse 3, it goes on to say this. And when she could not, no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. I try to read and think and talk at the same time, and there's all kinds of glitching. Sorry that you have to put up with that. But here's my next point. Mothers don't give up on their children. Mothers don't give up on their children. 3 months, it's getting harder to hide the baby now. He's getting older, he's getting louder, he's getting hungrier, he's getting noisier. The pressure's on, the authorities are just outside the door. I know what's going to happen potentially to not only my child, but to me if they catch me. And she had to do something. Several points just quickly. Number one, she did not give up on her children. It's getting too hard. It's going to make me suffer. I can't do this anymore. Instead, fourth point, mothers are crafty in a good way. And also, when necessary, in other ways, as the midwives demonstrated. You know, this woman, Jochebed, decided after 3 months when she realized this is not going to be possible, I got to do something else, she come up with the idea of making a little boat, and she daubed it with slime, and she puts together this little ark, and it wasn't willy-nilly. She wasn't like, well, I'll make a basket, throw them in it, and send them off, hope for the best. She had a plan, and likely she prayed desperately over this plan, and she makes this little boat. You know, mothers are so, they can take a bit of carrot and a little bit of beef and they can make a beautiful meal. A few, you know, rip rags. The next thing you know, you got a beautiful quilt. My mother used to sew me all kinds of different things, costumes and clothes and put their meals. And I was always impressed what she could do. Mothers are good at that. And she doesn't give up on her child. And she is crafty and she puts her ingenuity to work and she makes this little boat. And then finally, I jotted down that a mother's strength and faith is stretched the furthest. I really believe that. And I know for years my mom prayed for me when I was out being foolish, wandering from the shepherd in the midst of the wolves, and mom prayed for me. Ladies, let me just encourage you. I want to say, if you're praying, but I know you are, keep praying for your children. Keep praying that they'll come to know Christ. Keep praying that God will win their heart, that God will soften their hearts, because my mother did for me. If you had asked me 30 years ago if I would be standing in a pulpit preaching from a Bible, I would say, if I'm alive in that day, I will be either in prison or somewhere on hideout. But I certainly would never have considered doing this. But my mother prayed because she sees things that I didn't see myself. And God knew. And so, ladies, you keep praying for your children. Don't give up hope. That is our hope. And so her faith was stretched so far as she placed little Moses in this basket and then placed him in the river. Can you imagine? The mother's faith often stretched the farthest. And I'm thankful for the great faith that you demonstrate, ladies, moms. It's incredible. She lays her baby in this basket, lays him in the river, it says, and she laid him in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done. There's the craftiness, the smarts of the mom. Mary, and you're going to go with him, and you're going to keep an eye. This isn't just her whisking her son away and hoping for the best. She's paying attention. She's involved in the process. She sends out big sister Marion, you're going to hide in the flags. Don't let anybody see you. You pay attention. You watch. Make sure that he's safe. And that's exactly what she does. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Here comes the daughter of Pharaoh. Interesting. The guy that said baby boys need to die, he's got a daughter. And this daughter's the princess. And she decides to have a spa day. And down to the riverside she goes, little mud on the skin, little sun in the face, a little water for, you know, it's a nice day. She brings her maidens with her, and she has no idea how this day is going to unfold. But what I love about mothers, and when I say this, please understand that I mean this with all my heart. My mother was a mother to over 100 different children as a foster mom. And some of you understand that. And others understand that. Sometimes, I know I called women mom who weren't my mom. I had a mom. I loved her very much. But other women treated me like my mom did. And because their friends were my friends, I came to know them as mom as well. Some of you here today are referred to as mom by children that aren't your children. But you are mom in the sense that God has given you those instincts and has blessed you with those abilities. And so I thought about the fact that moms are universal. Here comes the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, and she's about to play mom to Moses. She's about to show compassion and tenderness and mercy on Moses. Those are all mom qualities. I love that moms are universal. I love that so many other women invested in my life, like grandmoms and aunts, my sister, different ones, because they have those same qualities, those same wonderful characteristics that God has placed in the world through women that we need. And so we see the princess coming down. She's having a spa day. She sees the little boat and the flags, and she sends one of her maidens. What is that over there? Go get that. I don't know what that is. That's interesting. Bring that to me. I want to see what that is. And so off they go to fetch this little boat. Marion, you can see her. She's, oh, no, what's going to happen next? She's watching the whole time. Sees her little brother in the basket. Here comes the little maiden, wades out into the water, scoops up the little basket, brings it over to the princess, and lo and behold, they uncover this little bundle, and there's a baby in the basket. Can you imagine? They probably didn't see any storks flying over. You know, how did this baby get here? You know, they understood very quickly what was going on. The princess did. And I love how this scene unfolds. God's grace is incredible. His involvement in our lives, he can look after every single detail, Christian. Isn't that wonderful that he can do that? We've seen it in our lives. I just love it. Just following the Lord. Just let him lead you. He'll get it all worked out. He always does. And so we see that here as this princess comes down to the riverside. And she sees this little basket. Bring him to me, she says. Verse 6. I love this because now Moses got a job to do, by the way. Jochebed did her job. Marion's doing her job. Now Moses has got a job to do. Here's what it is. Verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And on cue, behold, the babe wept. I love that. You know, who can resist this beautiful, goodly child, big blue eyes. I don't know if he had blue eyes, but let's pretend. Blue eyes filling up with those tears. That little lip starts to tremble. Just at the right moment. I don't know if God sent an angel. Now. And then the princess sees the baby and just starts to cry. And the princess, oh, come here, baby, and just scoops him up. And that's it. He's saved. As safe in the arms of God because he has worked out these details. And the man that condemned this little baby, his daughter, scoops him up in her arms. And look what she says. This is interesting. Verse 6 at the end. This is one of the Hebrews' children. She knew. She got it written. There's a Hebrew woman out there. There's a mom out there who loves her baby, risked her life for several months by the looks of things, made a basket, placed him in it, and sent him out here in hopes that he would be somehow saved. And I have found him, and I'm going to look after him. That was her attitude. And this universal mom picks right up where Jochebed couldn't. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? I mean, smart. She is paying attention. She sees what's going on, and she slips out from behind the scene. Hey, princess, you want me to go get a nurse from the Hebrew ladies to help take care of this child? I mean, you're a busy princess after all, and you have maidens and servants. And so the princess says, good idea. Go find me one. What does Marion do? Mom! She runs home to get mom. And again, we see how God so lovingly works out all the details. And we see mom in the midst of all of it. Marion is wisely suggesting what the princess could do. Verse 7, she says, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. I jotted down that mothers often have the tough job of watching from the sidelines. And you know, that's about to take place. In a few years when Moses is weaned, Jochebed is going to have to watch her son grow up in a big old bad world from the sidelines without that privilege or the opportunity of being able to step in whenever she wants to. And it's hard sometimes to leave your children in the hands of the Lord. It's not easy to have that faith. But you know, that's exactly what Jochebed has to do and does do. And by God's grace, the day will come when Moses will lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. You know, moms are proud of their children. Moms just glow when their children succeed or when they try hard, and I love that. And though we don't see it yet, Jochebed will glow But for now, she's on the sidelines, just trying to keep her son alive, trying to help him in this big, old, scary world. And the Pharaoh's daughter says, go. And the child goes and gets the mother. And verse 9, I love this. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child, or this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Not only does Jochebed have the privilege, I mean, I know we can see this clearly. It's just amazing to me. The privilege of having her child back in her arms where she will nurse and wean and raise this little child until he's maybe two or three or four and then send him off to Pharaoh's house. But she has her child back in her arms under the protection of the princess of Egypt. And ultimately, we know if you were to pull back that veil, it's under the protection of God. But God used the daughter of Pharaoh to protect Moses. Pharaoh said he's got to die. God says, I don't think so. And so now, not only does Jochebed have her son in her arms, but he is safe. She doesn't have to hide him anymore. And she can just raise him and tell others about God's grace, as I'm sure that she did. And not only that, but thirdly, Pharaoh's going to pay her for it. You can take your child back, you can take care of this child, and I'll pay you your wages, said the princess. Whatever you need, I'm going to look after you. I'm going to pay you for raising, for nursing, for caring for this child. And so we see how God worked out all of those details. Verse 10, just quickly, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and said, because I drew him out of the water. And just as we close today, and I know we have a little bit of time left, so that's all right. We'll enjoy Mother's Day a little sooner. But I love the fact that we see Jochebed making that ultimate sacrifice. You know, the child is grown, it says in verse 10. Child grew, and what does she do? She brought him unto Pharaoh. That is scary. And yet, for the last few years, however long it took for her to wean her own child, she had experienced God's grace, God's faithfulness. She experienced the impossible happy. Can you imagine telling that story? I put him in a basket. I know. I had to do something. And I put him in the Nile River, and I sent out Marion, and then the princess came down. And she seen God's grace. And so now here she is. The child is raised, and it says that she brought him to Pharaoh, unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Again, watching from the sidelines, not easy. That faith is stretched. And the mom has some of the most difficult tasks to do. And then finally, it says, because I drew him out of the water in regard to his name. And I jotted down finally that the sacrifice of Jochebed, the sacrifice of mothers, are often the greatest sacrifices that are made. And I'm so thankful for the sacrifice of my mom, the sacrifices of moms in general, and for you moms here today. So just in honor of Mother's Day. And in regards to what Scripture has to say, I wanted to share those things this morning. I'm thankful for women like Jochebed. I'm thankful for moms, and I'm thankful to the Lord that He saw fit to fill this world with moms. Amen? Anyway, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your grace and goodness. Thank You for women like Jochebed, Lord, who often do things that they could never do without Your help, without Your strength, without Your involvement. Thank You, Lord, for moms today. Thank You, Father, for the plan that You have for us. Thank You for how You use us. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for prayer. And thank You for the different ways that we can encourage and help others in our lives. And thank You for the help and encouragement that we receive from moms and, Father, from You through our moms. God, we ask that You would bless us as we close. Thank You for the reminder in Your word today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.